No, I am excited for it. I love this time of year, and I absolutely adore the holidays. Now you got me all thrown off. Now I'm just thinking about Christmas and getting my Christmas tree. Oh, we're going to talk about it. All right. Good morning. My name is Chelsea. I am so happy and excited to be here with you all today. I have the extreme honor to be up here teaching today through the authority and power of God and the blessings of the Holy Spirit, as recognized by Pastor Nathan, our lead pastor here at Real Church. And I get the honor of continuing our series on the holy virtues, the nine holy virtues rooted in the Enneagram. And today we are talking about the virtue of sobriety. And if you've done the math and you're counting the weeks, today we are talking about sevens on the Enneagram. But before we jump into that, let's take a second again and pray. God, this time is yours. Please open our eyes, open our ears, open our spirits and our hearts. Please let us lay down any expectations, assumptions. Bless us with a beginner's mind, Lord, that we would not come in with this grasping and foreclosing on information we already know, but instead be open to whatever you want to say, whatever you want to teach, and however you want us to understand this message. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Fill this space. And may everything this morning, today, this week, Lord God, be for your kingdom, your glory, and your power. In Jesus' beautiful name, amen. When I first met Darren, I had actually just started my first master's program. It was my first experience as a master's student. It was 2008. The economy had kind of just tanked. I had been working full time. That had shifted. So I decided to go back to school like a lot of people did at that time. And it was new being a grad student. I was in this new role, and I was actually also working three jobs at the time to pay for grad school. So my overachiever, my high achiever was in full mode. I mean, it was on high alert, working overtime. And after I met Darren, a lot of people, especially after we started hanging out and then we started dating, a lot of people very blatantly asked me, how does this work? Because he is a professional skydiver at that time who rides a motorcycle, clearly has a lot of tattoos, but at the time when I first met him, he was also a longshoreman. He worked some other side jobs, building hot rods, building motorcycles. He's always cracking jokes. He's super lighthearted. He pretty regularly pulled pranks on people that didn't always go well. And he was always just super eager for the next adventure. And what people would say to me very often is, but you guys are just so different. You know, he's so goofy and kind of on the meaner side of it, just isn't he just immature? And at that time, and some of those things even now, yeah, those are true. Let's name it. But I've been an adult since I was 15. When my dad passed away, I had to grow up very quickly. My dad was the breadwinner, and my mom did not make enough money. We had to move very quickly out of my childhood home. I immediately had to start working if I wanted to keep dancing. I had to create a budget. I had to be very wise about things. I had to make some really tough decisions, and I had to grow up really fast. And Darren brought into my life a freedom and a joy and a spontaneity that had been missing from my life for a long time. Now, I want to be honest, there were very serious problems. In an effort to impress this new guy I had a crush on, I didn't necessarily always prioritize my work the way I normally would have. But, you know, when a guy you like calls you up on a Tuesday and says, hey, let's just drive a few hours away and spend a day in a nice, quiet little mountain touristy town, you go, yeah, I would much rather do that than work on my thesis. Why not? We spoke different languages. We had different priorities. But ultimately, we are a fantastic balance. Rather than trying to change Darren, and rather than Darren trying to change me, what God blessed us with was an openness for me to learn from Darren to enjoy his freedom and to embrace that. And he started learning from me, being a little bit more organized, being a little bit more structured. Now, I'm going to honor Darren naming himself as a 13, and that's beautiful, and we'll keep that. But I think there are a lot of elements of the 7 that Darren identifies with as well. 7s are the enthusiasts, but they go by many names. The enthusiast is one of them. They're also called the Peter Pan. In fact, Darren even has a shirt with Peter Pan on it that says, I'm so fly, I never land, and I was somewhat praying he was going to wear that shirt today. I was so hoping he was going to wear it. He didn't. It's okay. Go Canada. But the Peter Pan or the Eternal Child is another name for the 7. And 7s live for the next adventure. Now, this is both good and bad, and we'll talk about both. But they see the world as their playground. They are happiest when they're on the move, enjoying life, just taking everything in. They really love going from one activity to the next, kind of jumping from one activity to the next. And they are pleasure seekers. But they really savor the anticipation of the next adventure. They're the kind of people who the best part of the meal is the anticipation of it, waiting for it, expecting how good it's going to be and thinking through how good that meal is going to be. But the problem with that is that a lot of times they feel let down because it never lives up to their expectation. The experience or the meal or whatever it is kind of falls short. And so many of the numbers that we've talked about, the types that we've talked about so far are achievement-oriented. You think about the 1s, you think about the 3s, 6s to a certain extent. We're going to talk about 8s next week. They're very achievement-oriented. 7s, experience-oriented. All about the experience. They make sure they always have something to do. And sometimes they can actually look like a dilettante because they have so many scattered interests that sometimes they'll have scattered projects all over the place that aren't all done. They're all kind of partially done, all moving at the same time. Or they'll have 3 or 4 books that they're all kind of reading at the same time. And so because they're so excited about the next adventure, because they're so excited to get out there and live life, they have a lot of trouble being in the moment and enjoying right now because they're already thinking about what's coming next. They're already planning the next adventure. Now, a lot of people, and let's be honest, we rely on 7s. Their enthusiasm is infectious. Their energy is infectious. They change a room. One of my favorite songs, There's No Sunshine When She's Gone, that's true about 7s. The sunshine, the light goes away when a 7 leaves the room. I mean, they just bring so much energy and joy into their spaces. One of the quotes I read about 7s that is so true, they would rather eat glass than suffer boredom. Like, that's the level we're talking about here. Like, they would rather be tortured than be bored, because then at least the torture is an experience and they're enjoying it, okay? So when they get bored, because they can't stand it, they start getting hyperactive, they start getting over-talkative, their minds race, they can become bad-tempered. But one of my favorite things that happens when Darren and I are shopping or in the car or driving for a long time, he'll just start talking and story and not, doesn't really finish a story. And I'll just, okay, yep, here we go. Let's talk. Absolutely. So another name for 7s is the epicure. They delight in every possibility of life. Commitment, though, is a little bit of a struggle. They always want to have a backup. And not just a plan B, but a plan C and D and E and F. Because when plan A doesn't go right, they cannot be bored and they cannot just sit. They have to go to the next thing. But as with all of the types in the Enneagram, it's important to understand the motive. It's important to understand the why. And for 7s, it's about avoiding pain. And so they dive into adventure. They dive into experience to avoid pain. To go out of their way to avoid that introspection, to avoid those negative emotions and negative experiences. But their means of avoidance are really entertaining. And so they don't always get called out for it because it just looks like they're super adventurous. So when things get really intense, when things get really distressing, they're the ones who are going to lighten the mood. They're the people who are going to change the topic because they don't want to sit in that discomfort. And what can end up happening is it can cause some problems in relationships. Because unfortunately, that behavior of avoiding those serious, those uncomfortable, those difficult situations has consequences. And sometimes other people think that sevens lack emotional or intellectual depth. That couldn't be farther from the truth. They are insanely deep. They just don't necessarily want to sit with those negative emotions or experiences. And so sevens, it's really crucial for them to understand how their behavior impacts other people. How avoiding that pain, avoiding that discomfort, avoiding those negative experiences is impacting the people around them. And because of this strong drive to avoid pain or discomfort, sevens are incredibly vulnerable to addiction. They're very impulsive. They have incredible difficulty with delayed gratification. The idea that it'll be better later. No. I want it better now. Why are you? Waiting is not in their language, right? They're not about that. They want the activity now, the experience now. And so that desire to escape just kind of increases that potential for that addiction. Another important thing about sevens is that they are spin doctors. Their form of communication is storytelling. They are the most phenomenal storytellers. And they can keep you entertained. Woo! It is amazing. They tell stories to express and share their emotions and their feelings, their experiences. But they're also masters at reframing. And what I mean by that is they can take a bad situation and turn it into a positive. That selective attention that I've talked a lot about, they are phenomenal at that. They will look at that story and pull just those selective points that make it a much more positive experience to avoid pain again. This is very unconscious most of the time. This is very instantaneous. It's incredibly impressive how good they are at it. But ultimately, they're afraid of being trapped. Again, it's that commitment piece. Sevens are afraid of feeling trapped. They're afraid of feeling engulfed. And so they move away from routine. They move away from consistency through reframing, through telling this story in a more positive light. But because they're such great storytellers, they can also talk their way out of trouble really well. They will charm the crap out of you. Like, they are phenomenal at that. Crazy charismatic. And if you call them out, if you name it, they also have a million reasons why what they're doing is actually good for everyone. Like, just so good at that. Just spinning it around. They also, because they are these storytellers and because they have this positive spin on their background and these things that have happened to them, they tend to develop an inflated sense of their own giftedness, their intelligence, their achievement. And so this can lead to a little bit of arrogance, a little bit of cockiness, a little bit of ego. Because ultimately, they fear they're going to be unveiled as less than they are. And so they feel like they know a lot of things. And most of the time they do because they have so many interests. They do know a lot of things. But they sometimes struggle knowing what's real and what's not. One of my favorite things is watching trivia game shows with Darren. And he will say an answer. And you're like, oh, you clearly know that. And I'm sitting there going, but I thought it was this. Nope, it is this. Okay. Answer comes, oh, it was not that. Oh, okay. Well, but you sounded so sure. Yeah, I guess I was wrong. Like, just right off his back. Doesn't matter. But he says it. It's so tough to know. Are you guessing? Is there a question mark in there? No, says it with such certainty. It's phenomenal. But here's the truth about sevens, guys. They have a huge heart. Oh, they have a huge heart. They are generous. They are willing to sacrifice for those they love. These are the people who will do anything for you. But no, and please hear this, in doing anything for you, there is a part of them that is scared that they will lose their freedom and they will lose who they are in that process of doing everything for you. They still will, but that fear is going to be there in them. Sevens have an incredibly pleasant disposition. Again, they know enough about everything to pretend they know it all, to speak really well. Sevens, by far, of any type, the most optimistic. The most optimistic. And part of that is because of the storytelling. They are able to see the good. They are able to see the positive. They will see how things will work out. They are able to see that. And their optimism is crucial in the world. Crucial. So knowing all of that about sevens, it might make sense then that they struggle with gluttony. The sin of the seven is gluttony. And I know we tend to think of gluttony as overeating, right? Thanksgiving's coming up, nom, 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 nom. Not that kind of gluttony, okay? Not the, like, I need to wear my stretchy pants gluttony. This is a hunger and a deep craving for stimulation and experience. It's not about food. It's about experience. If that's a phenomenal meal, then great. But it's much less about eating, and it's much more just about stimulation. This boundless love for life, this constant seeking of joy and pleasure. They want more of whatever pleases them. And anything that does please them, they just want more. Again, because of that fear of commitment, losing themselves, they're constantly keeping their options open, right? Constantly having those other plans to avoid being trapped, to avoid getting caught up by anything unpleasant. In the middle of one event, they'll start thinking about the next one. Right? In the middle of one vacation, they're already thinking about, well, what are we going to do next? Or what's it going to look like when we get home? Or how are we going to stay this excited when we get back? Gluttony here is a struggle recognizing that there's a limit to what we can have. There's a limit to how much we can have. And there are some things that we never get to have. There are some things that we just, however much we try, we just don't get to have them. And so gluttony here is just this compulsive, and I say that word deliberately, a compulsion to devour positive experiences, stimulating ideas, material things. So I avoid suffering, I avoid pain, I avoid hurtful memories, I avoid feeling deprived. And so through craving that stimulation, that's where the addiction to adrenaline can come in. That's where that rush of energy can come in. The excitement, even that mental stimulation, it doesn't always have to be jumping out of a plane. It can be the mental stimulation of learning new things, going new places, seeing new things. That can be part of this as well. And so ultimately what a seven is doing is trying to push as much pleasure into one moment as possible. How can I make this as exciting as possible? But satisfaction for a seven is never here. It's in the future. It's that anticipation and the excitement about what's to come. Because that's how they divert attention away from any anxiety or discomfort or any loss or pain. So the counter to that, the counter to this kind of gluttony is sobriety. And that's our virtue for today, sobriety. And again, I know we think of sobriety as abstaining from alcohol, right? And that is part of it. That can be one way that sevens lean to avoidance. But here, ultimately, sobriety is about living in the moment. It's about being right here, right now, whatever that means, whatever that brings. It's beginning something. It's beginning an action without having to bring in distractions or without having to plan a plan B, C, D, and E just so I have something else to keep me excited. Sobriety is about self-restraint. I loved this line. Sobriety in this instance, in this definition, is doing ordinary life and creating space for the day-to-day, accepting each moment honestly and fully, paying attention to both the good and the bad, rather than only selectively paying attention to certain things, particularly positive experiences. Sobriety is taking one thing at a time, appreciating every moment's value and worth, that every moment is there for a reason, and avoiding imagining things as better than they are. So what does sobriety look like? What are some things that we can think about? Whether you're identifying a lot with a seven, or whether you're just thinking about, oh yeah, that person's definitely a seven, whether you're, you know, what parts apply to you and what doesn't, how can we all learn more about this sobriety? Well, point number one today, and I really want to bring this home, joy and fun are from God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Joy and fun are from God. It is so easy for us to become burdened by the things of daily life, to lose sight of the joy that God has given us. And I want to be really clear, church. There is oppression. There are social justice issues. There is crime. There is loss. There is pain. There is hurt. There are all of these things. And there is joy. And unfortunately, for many of us, we get so lost in the one, we lose sight of the other. And joy and fun are from God. Sevens remind us to have fun, to rejoice, to celebrate. Shoot, I almost missed out on my engagement because we had planned a beach day, which is where I go to heal. And I was so stressed about my thesis, I called Darren the night before and said, beach day is canceled. I can't do it. I've got to work. I can't do it. And poor guy on the other side of the phone is like, please do a beach day. You need a beach day. And I need a beach day because you don't know what's coming, but it's big. They remind us to pause, to have fun, to enjoy. And this is biblical. It's so many places in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 24 through 25. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? This was written by Solomon, the wisest king. This is Solomon who prayed to God, who God said, I will give you anything. And he said, God, I just want wisdom so I can lead well. I feel like we should listen. Now, if you read the rest of Ecclesiastes, it's kind of depressing. There's a lot of other stuff in there. But what Solomon is saying here is he's reminding us to find joy in the day-to-day things. Enjoy eating. When's the last time you slowed down and paid attention to what you were eating rather than just eating in front of the TV or just, you know, shoveling it in to move on to the next thing? That joy is a gift from God. Finding enjoyment in our toil, in our work, is a gift from God. God is the one who blesses us with enjoyment. That blows my mind. Again from Solomon, Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Church, there is so much research I can point you to about how bad stress is for you physically. And actually, it isn't just stress. It's our negative interpretation of stress. But that's a whole other thing. We could talk for hours about that. It's bad. Living in that negativity all the time is bad. And there's also a lot of research out there about how healing laughter is, how healing fun is. There's research out there where they made people put a pencil in their mouth, because it kind of replicates a smile. It makes the corners of your mouth go up. That alone, fake smiling, made people healthier. That's the gift of sevens. They bring that joy and that laughter, that joyful heart being good medicine. That's true. The benefits of joy are huge. Nehemiah 8:10. Then God said to them, he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not the stress of the day, not the weight of all the stuff going on, the joy of the Lord. Thank you for those of you who identify a lot with sevens for reminding us of that joy. Thank you. That is huge. And Nehemiah is actually calling us to share with others. He says, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. Don't hoard this. Stop buying 15 things of toilet paper. Share. Share it with others. Share the joy with others. But I want to be really careful. Unfortunately, what can happen, and Darren and I just celebrated our date-iversary, so 12 years of dating and being together. 10 years was in May. In my time being with him, I've seen a lot of people criticize his behavior and come down on him. Now, I love you. Sometimes it's been deserved, very much. But sometimes it's been really harsh. And so let's please be really careful criticizing people who identify as a 7 for their lighthearted nature, because that is a gift from God. Help them realize the consequences of their behavior. Help them realize when they're getting pulled out of the moment. Help them realize when their behavior is harmful. Absolutely. Hold them accountable. Yes. Help them embrace the full experience of life. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But please allow them space to be who they were made to be. Allow them space to continue finding joy and have fun with them. Let's be very careful of what exactly we're criticizing and look at behavior rather than the person. So point number one, joy and having fun are from God. But point number two, enjoy in moderation. So again, knowing that 7s struggle with gluttony, moderation is a major part of sobriety, right? 7s can struggle with addiction because once they find that distraction, I think this is true for so many of us, despite what number you identify with more or less, once they find a distraction that works, they continue leaning into that pleasure of that distraction and just want more and more and more of that rather than facing the discomfort they're trying to avoid. But again, the Bible teaches us so much about the importance of moderation. Proverbs, again, coming back to Solomon, Proverbs 25, verse 16, and then I'm going to jump to 27 and 28. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Go back and read those verses and replace honey with pretty much anything from life today, right? Anything good from life today. Too much of anything can be bad. Too much of anything can be bad. Except God, I challenge you, get too much of God in your life. I challenge you to make that happen. Challenge accepted. Let's try to do it this week. But so, unfortunately, 7s can struggle with that narcissism. 7s can struggle with that self-focus. And they can fall into that trap of not only taking in too much, but of seeking their own glory. And what Solomon reminds us here is to do all things for the glory of God. To do all things for the glory of God. Make him the priority. Make him the focus. And allow those experiences that come with following Jesus. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I think it's so fascinating that the first part of that, so he's saying, Peter is teaching, the enemy is looking, he's prowling, he's trying to find someone to attack. And what Peter says at the start of this is be sober-minded and watchful. If we're distracting ourselves from discomfort, from pain, from hurt, what else are we distracting ourselves from? If we are distracting ourselves from the present moment, what else are we missing that's happening in this present moment? When we have too much fun, when we allow ourselves too much of anything, again, except God, we create an opportunity for the enemy to come in and create havoc. So that's not to say never have fun, but engage in it in a way that you are still sober-minded and can still stay attentive in the present moment. Romans 14:21, It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Now, let me give a little context if it's been a while since you've read Romans 14. Before this, Paul says, if God says you can eat meat, eat meat. If God says you can drink wine, drink wine. Be obedient to God is as long as it's glorifying God. But what he's saying here is please be careful how those decisions impact the people around you. If you doing that around someone else causes them to lose their faith in God, that's a problem. So again, for sevens, a crucial question is how is your behavior impacting the people around you? It is phenomenal that God made you lighthearted and joyful and optimistic. But if a person beside you needs something else right now, are you sitting with them in that? Are you meeting them in that? Or is your behavior causing more harm and hurt? Maybe you have a behavior that's healthy for you, but it's actually harming somebody else. And so, unfortunately, sevens become so blindsided, they become so distracted by avoiding their own discomfort that helping them see the bigger picture of community and how it's impacting community can be really helpful. So joy and fun are gifts from God. They are. We know that biblically. But how are we using those gifts? How are you enjoying those gifts? And are you using those gifts in a way that honors and glorifies God? So point number one was joy and fun are from God. Point number two, enjoy in moderation. And point number three, find your joy in the Lord. Find your joy in the Lord. Sevens are, again, they're just constantly seeking that adventure, constantly seeking pleasure and fun. But let's just be honest. God is the only consistent source of joy we will find this side of eternity. Amen? When we avoid negative experiences, negative emotions, unfortunately, what can happen is sevens might actually be missing out on the greatest source of joy that we can have. And that is God, meeting God in this moment. Again, coming back to Romans 14, verse 7. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So again, Paul says, eat, drink as God says. Do what God tells you to do. Be obedient. If he says that's okay, enjoy it. But that's not your joy. That's not where you find joy. Joy doesn't come from what we do. Joy doesn't come from what we eat. Joy doesn't come from what we drink, what we have, despite what advertising tells you. Joy comes from God. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 126, verses 5 through 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Let me say that one more time. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Remember what I mentioned about delayed gratification in sevens? He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Our God takes negative emotions and uses them for his kingdom and returns to us joy. The negative emotions that sevens are trying to avoid with God are temporary. But unfortunately, it's tough for them to see that long term. It's tough for them to see what's coming in the future. And they just want to avoid the pain that is right now. I mean, shoot, church, we sing this song. You turn graves into gardens. You turn mourning into dancing. You turn shame into glory. That's what our God does. And when we miss out on those emotions, we're missing out on the true experience. James 1, verses 2 through 4, and I'm going to be totally honest, I hate teaching James because he is just slapping us across the face constantly. Real short book, real lot of just, lot in your face. Verse number 2, here we go. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. James, stop it. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Trials move us to growth. Difficulties, obstacles are how we grow. If we are never uncomfortable, we are never growing. I hate that truth. But if we are just in our comfort zone all the time, we stay stagnant. With God, what James is reminding us is that we can experience joy while we're in trial. We can experience joy while things are bad, because God is a God who saves, who frees, who liberates, who completes. That's what our God does. That's how Jesus was able to hold space in the moment for all of the emotions that he had. He showed us it's not an either or. It's all of the above. I can have trust and joy in God while I'm terrified. I can have trust and joy in God while I'm mourning. I can have trust and joy in God while I'm serving the oppressed. Finding our joy in God holds space for the full experience of life, good and bad. God is bigger than it all. Let me say that one more time. God is bigger than it all. Amen? So what's our path toward sobriety? What's our path toward virtue? It sounds simple, but at some point, someone who identifies a lot with a seven heard the wounding message, you are on your own. You have to do it on your own because no one is here to take care of you. No one's here to support you. And so they responded with, well, if no one else is here to take care of me, I will. I have to take care of myself. So they created this pain-free Neverland in their mind where they could hide out and escape, where they could hide out and think happy thoughts until the pain went away. So the healing message, the path toward virtue for all of us. I don't care how much of this is resonating with you on a scale of 1 to 10. If you're like, I'm a 2 on this, you still need this. If you're a 10 on this, you still need this. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. That's the healing message. Now, it's going to take courage. And courage is not, I can do that. No, that's not courage. That's what Hollywood wants us to believe courage is. That's a lie. Courage is, I'm terrified and God's saying for me to take a step forward. I guess I need to take a step forward. Holy Spirit, will you move my feet? Because they're not moving on my own. That's courage. It'll take determination. It'll take honesty. A virtue we've already talked about. It'll take help from others. Honestly, providing that accountability and that honesty. It'll take understanding and patient friends to help sevens confront really painful memories and encourage them to sit with those negative feelings as long as they need to process them. But again, I want to be really honest. I shared earlier that walking alongside Darren for this amount of time, I've seen so many people criticize his behavior. And I've seen him work diligently to get better, to grow and mature. And then I've seen him step back into those spaces and people then criticize him again for not bringing the behavior he had before. So let's be careful not to expect them to show up with behavior we've asked them to moderate. Let's be really careful with how we interact with sevens. Let's seek God in offering feedback, in offering suggestions. And then let's also honor the way God is maturing and growing these people. But sevens, we got to ask you a favor. We need your help. We need you to help us awaken the Peter Pan in us. We need you to help awaken childlike wonder in us again. We need you to help us. We need you to rescue us from taking ourselves too seriously. We need you to help us take a break. We need you to help us appreciate the miracle of life, to find the joy, to find the optimism. We need you. Let's all learn how to steward and embrace discomfort, suffering, pain, rather than run from it. Because unfortunately, a lot of strategies that we all use to avoid pain actually, in the long run, actually create more pain. Sevens can grow such an insanely deep heart. They can become these amazing integrated people that hold space for fun and discomfort, that find that balance. Let's all help each other and help ourselves learn to slow down, learn to be present, and learn to embrace this moment for whatever it has and to thank God for it. We'll count the joy from every battle, because we know that's where God is. Let's pray, church. God, thank you so much that your word doesn't teach us that it is all work and no play. Thank you so much for the gift of these sevens, these personality traits that remind us how important fun and adventure and excitement really are. Forgive us, Lord, that we get so bogged down by the things of this world that we lose sight of you and the true joy you bring to us, Holy Spirit. Forgive us also when we lean into distractions too much, that we use those distractions again to take us out of the moment and miss what you, King, are doing. Father God, would you help us find that sobriety this week? Would you help us find the balance, Lord, of being in the moment, embracing each moment for whatever it holds, frustrations, pains, hurts, joys, happiness, celebrations. And would you help us see you in all of it? Bless us with peace to accept, radically accept, each moment this week. And again, Lord, bless us with eyes to see you and to lean to you and to find the joy that comes from you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. We are yours, God. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your time and attention. Go have some fun today. Amen. Enjoy the leaves changing. Enjoy the cooler weather, hoodie weather. I love me a good comfy hoodie. It's my favorite. Have fun. Please help me just push the chairs up whenever you're done and moving. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the beautiful weather, and we will see you all next week. Thank you, everybody.
Surrounded every single part of my life, you would never leave me. And believe me, when I say this life ain't easy peasy, you aren't trying to be cheesy, but in life you go through seasons changing. One minute you fall, one minute you win. Yeah, this life ain't easy, but you can't lose sight of hope. Even if it feels like it's impossible, every being in this world is valuable. Even if you're too young or too old, I'ma tell you right now, you're pure gold. Yeah, don't let age define you. God's plan's too big and it's so divine. The Holy Spirit been in the room and my heart's alive, my heart's on fire. I'm trying to get my arms held high, even with the enemy coming at me. I'm a son of the King, I say it proudly. I was lost, but in grace he found me. I said, even though I walk through the valley of death, I know that he'll always give me breath. You know the joy comes in the morning, yeah. Been looking forward to the morning, God. Taking me higher, we soaring. Going through the motions, I love. Keeping it close to you, never let me down when I'm feeling up. And you lift me up when I'm feeling down. Every situation, turn it around. You know the joy comes in the morning, yeah. Been looking forward to the morning, God. Taking me higher, we soaring. Going through the motions, I love. Keeping it close to you, never let me down when I'm feeling up. And you lift me up when I'm feeling down. Situation, turn it around. Yeah, prosper. I just wanna be prosperous, but you giving, you taking. I can't help but say, life will be easier.